I appreciate what has gone before. It's always a pleasure for me to see Brother Patterson and be here with you. And I ask a continued interest in your prayers for just a few minutes tonight, and I trust in a special way that you will pray for me as you have prayed for him. Call your attention tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning with verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and beginning with verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In the verses that preceded this particular text that I've read to you, Paul instructs the Corinthian church and says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Now, Paul was reminding them of the handing down of the history of national Israel. He reminded them about Moses and the cloud. They all did eat that same spiritual meat, according to Exodus 16, Nehemiah 9 and 15, if you want to read it. And not only that, the Bible says, "And did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." And now I'm going to prove to you what that rock was over there in the wilderness. Yeah. And that rock was Christ.
Yes, sir. He is there, brother.
But with many of them, now don't get too enthused now, because there's some disappointing elements in this text.
Yeah.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, I was going to preach on something else, and he kind of turned me the other way. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, we can go back and historically prove, if we believe the Bible, that that is the truth. Now, these things were our examples for this reason, he says, to the intent. Now, my intent when I left the courthouse at Fort Payne, Alabama today was to arrive here at Macedonia Church and eat breakfast for supper. Amen. And I liked it. I want you to know that. That's not the first time that ever happened in my life. But the intent of mine was to get here, not so much to eat naturally, but to worship with you and to glorify the God who not only delivered us in eternity, but also does it in time. Now he says, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither. All right, now let's look at the neithers in this text. Neither be ye idolaters. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I don't have any idols." You better be careful.
Yeah.
Better be careful. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, somebody said the other day about my little grandson, said, "You idolize him, don't you?" And I had to admit that probably I gave him more attention than I ought to. Now, it's easy, my friends, and I want you to understand this. It's easy for our motive to be right and our method to be wrong. And I'm telling you here today that it's easy for children of God at times to get off the track.
Yeah, sir.
Now, don't tell me that's not so, because you and I know those things that take place. But neither, he said, be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. 3 in 20,000 fell in one day. Neither, here it is again, let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted him and were destroyed of serpents. We read that in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. Neither, here it is again, neither murmur you. My God, wouldn't it be wonderful not to have no murmur or complaining? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Brethren, I want you to understand today that unless, you know what the word take heed means? It means a steady looking. Check me out on it. A steady looking. And he says here, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, you better look steady, lest you fall. Paul did that same thing to the church, and made me think of this as the brother was speaking here a minute ago. But notice with me now, in Acts chapter 20, Paul calls for the elders of the church. And I'll challenge any man to show me whether he ever called for the reverends of the church. Called for the elders of the church. He says this in verse 28. Here it is again. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. What did he say? To feed the church of God. Every man that God ever called to preach was called to feed the church of God. When God calls a man to preach, he gives him a field to labor in, gives him a gift, and all men's gifts are not the same. But I want to tell you right now that when men apply themselves and when they are standing before God's people who have the spirit of understanding, you understand that God's people need to be fed.
Yes.
We need to be fed. And to say that to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. What did he say? Reason we need to take heed, for you better know this. For after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. What a warning. Not sparing the flock. Now you get that? Not sparing the flock. But then he gets a little deeper into the situation. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What a warning that is.
Yeah.
What a warning it is for us to see and to understand that Paul says, take heed, take heed. And now listen again as the Bible talks about this steady looking again. Go with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and listen to how Paul talks again about the take heed. Listen to it now. He said, beginning with verse 13, he said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, that's completely to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You don't have to have a degree to rightly divide that. But I'll tell you what else he says. He says, take heed.
Yeah.
Take heed, what? Unto thyself. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. and unto the doctrine. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. What's he saying? My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me. Now he says, continue in them. There's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Continue in them. For in doing this, that is continuing in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad today to tell you, my friend, that there are those out there today that would take no heed to the word of God. I want to tell you today that the church is obligated to take heed to the word of God.
Yes, sir.
We have that responsibility. Because there are those that would destroy the doctrine of Christ. They would cast it aside, even of our own selves. Sad to say, men have risen up to draw disciples after them. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's still a God in heaven, amen, that said this, that said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll tell you right now that there are those that would take what you have and cast it aside. Don't tell me that's not so. We know that. So therefore, we need to take heed, don't we? Listen again to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and what the Bible says here. Begin with verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, he's teaching Timothy now, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables, here it is now, neither give heed to fables, and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. All right, go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 1. Listen now at what he says. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, a cautious, steadfast looking, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and they do, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want to tell you, there wasn't another verse in the Bible to tell me that salvation can be neglected. This would be enough. Amen. That doesn't mean that God's people are going to die and go to hell if they neglect it. But I'm telling you that the church at Galatia tottered on the brink of going back under a yoke of bondage that they could not bear. And I'll tell you another thing. There are men that will stand behind the desk in the name of religion, and they will put a burden on the shoulders of God's children that they cannot bear. They cannot bear it. I remember one time, and I'm going to use this. And you know, sometimes not taking heed can be disastrous. It can be disastrous for the church. It can be disastrous for a family. It can be disastrous for a country. It can be disastrous. And I can give you a lot of people like Demas. And you can read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 about many of those great men like Samson and Lot who died in a disgraceful condition. And yet the Bible says the world was not worthy of it. Not worthy of it. I want to just give you one example over here, and I want you to take notice of this. Now, you know all this is called by a little word called sin. S-I-N, that's the way you spell it. And eyes in the middle, amen. Eyes in the middle. Don't forget that. When you go back over here, and I'm going to give you a man by the name of Abner. You turn back with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3, and you're going to find a man by the name of Abner and a man by the name of Joab. And I'm going to wind this down pretty quick, but I want to tell you right now, you remember this about Joab. Joab was a cold-blooded killer. All right?
Yeah,
cold-blooded killer. But he did it in a nice way. You want me to prove that to you? That's what I'm fixing to do. He is a cold-blooded killer. He came to Abner. And listen to how Joab dealt with him. Joab had a jealous streak a foot wide. Whatever somebody else had, he wanted. He wanted it at the top of the list. And the Bible says that Abner returned from to Hebron. And listen to this now. Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. And while he was there, the Bible said, and he smote him under the fifth rib, that he died. All right, now I want you to remember that. I want you to put up a little stake right there. The fifth rib. I want you to remember that. Now remember who Abner was. He was Saul's cousin. He was a commander over the armies of the kingdom of Israel. But Joab, in a sly way, stabbed him with a knife under the fifth rib. Come over here and let's look at Joab again. And he deals with a man named Amasa. 2 Samuel chapter 19. And you can look at 2 Samuel 19 and see what David said about Amasa. Now remember that Amasa was David's nephew. Amasa was the son of Abigail, David's sister. You know what David said about Amasa? He said, "Thou art my bone and my flesh." That's how he loved him. "Thou art my bone and my flesh." And he gave him a lifetime appointment as the commander of all the military forces of Judah. Joab didn't like it. He was there again. Come on over here with me to 2 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll begin with about verse 9. And Joab said to Amasa, "Art thou in health, my brother?" You ever walked up, you know, how you feel? You know what I mean? If you're talking to somebody, having a conversation, you know, generally, how you feel? My daddy had a sister. You didn't want to make that mistake with her, I'll tell you that. Because you'd get a running history of all her ailments. But he said, "How are you feeling? Art thou in health, my brother?" Now Joab had taken a buckle and a belt, and he buckled on himself a long knife or a sword. And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa, listen to this now, going to be the most important thing I say. But Amasa took no heed. Hear that? Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib. That is again. He was a professional killer. And shed out his bowels to the ground. And struck him not again. And he died. And the Bible said that he wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. He took no heed. He took no heed. Fifth rib. Somebody said, what does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you right now, he knew enough. And I asked my doctor about this the other day. I got studying about it. I said, what about the fifth rib? He said, well, that's where the bottom part of the heart is. He said, you put a knife in there, it's death almost instantaneous, just like that. You know, doctors didn't figure that out in 1947. The Bible recorded a long time ago. Yeah. In the fifth rib, he put him to death, but he took no heed. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, as the church of God today, we need to take heed to the word of God. We need to take heed to the gospel of Christ. Why? Because our own Bible, our own articles of faith says that this Bible, we believe, is our only rule of faith and practice. Now I'm telling you today, right now, I've not got much patience with these people that think they can improve on the word of God. I want to tell you today, I've not got much patience with these folks that have the idea that we can just leave things alone and let it go. I'm telling you this today, my friend, that you and I as watchmen, brethren, as watchmen, and you also as watchmen, we need to have a steady looking. A steady looking. Why? But I'll tell you one thing, this world is no friend of grace. This world is no friend of grace. I'm thankful, my friend, that when I can read about taking heed to the word of God, Brother Joe, do you know what I can do? I can take heed because I can remember some things back there. I can remember hearing your daddy preach when I was a little boy. I can remember those great old men that all of them are dead and gone now to be with the Lord. And do you know what they did? They were cornfield preachers. I'll admit that, but I'm going to agree with you, brother. They had a degree from SMU. You know what that is? Sand Mountain University. Y'all pray over that. You're supposed to get that, all right? You know, I've got a degree, all right, from Sand Mountain University. That fellow asked me the other day, he said, what seminary did you attend? I said, well, I didn't go to a seminary. They said, do you pastor a church? I said, well, yes, sir, I still pastor churches, have 51 years. Well, you mean you don't have to have a degree to pastor a church? I said, no, sir, I don't have to have a degree to pastor a church. And he said, well, what do you preach? I said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you know what? That's the bottom line. That's the common denominator. You know, we've all got that. My friend, I want to tell you today that I believe that Jesus died, rose, and revived that He might be God of the dead and of the living. Yes, sir. He's not only the God of the dead, He's God over the dead. I had a man one time, Brother Jeff, tried to tell me, he was a believer in non-resurrectionism. He said, well, what's going to raise the wicked? I said, the same power that raised the righteous.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same power that raised the righteous. I'll tell you right now, God is not only the God over the dead, but of the dead, but He's the God over the dead. He is the God of the righteous. You and I today can believe that. We can rejoice in that. Why? Because we can take heed. We can take heed to those things that we trust will strengthen us in this world that's no friend of grace. And I'll tell you right now, Paul began to lay it out plain. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Let me tell you, young folks tonight, and old folks alike again tonight, for God's sake, do not neglect that which God has revealed to you.
Amen.
Do not neglect it. What doth hinder me, says the eunuch, from being baptized?
Yeah.
What doth hinder me from being baptized? You know what the preacher said? If thou believest with all thine heart.
Yeah.
Well, know what was in his heart, didn't he? What kind of heart was he talking about? That old hard and stony heart? You got more sense than that. You know better than that. He's talking about that heart that's renewed by the grace of God. He's not talking about this instrument in here where Joab put the knife. No, sir. But he's talking about that inward affection that God instills. That God instills there, and yet sin's still there. Sin's still there. Eyes in the middle, isn't it? Eyes in the middle. I'll tell you today, I'm glad today that I believe in Jesus Christ, that I believe in a God today that raised his son from the dead. I believe today that there was a Jesus that walked the dusty hills of Galilee. I believe there's a Jesus that turned the water to wine. I believe there's a Jesus, a man, Christ Jesus, that met a woman at the well. And that's the reason he went down there to meet with one woman at the well. I have needs that I must go through Samaria. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you right now, when he got down there, he dealt with that woman. You know what she did? She went into the city. She wants to come back and see. Come see a man.
Yeah.
Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? This is him. And whether you start in Genesis or whether you come to Revelation, I want to tell you right now, when you get through, the Lord wins, you see?
Yeah,
yeah, I've got a bad habit of reading the first page or two of a book and then the last page. I got a bad habit about that. I don't like what's in the middle much. When I read a book, now this one's different. But when I read a book, I read a little in the front and a little in the back, and I try to put it all together. But I want to tell you right now, you can begin in Genesis and come to Revelation. I'm going to let you know something. Jesus wins.
Yeah.
The devil's here for a while. He'll give you trouble while you live. He's going to do that. It's a struggle. Eyes in the middle.
Yeah.
I want to tell you right now that the fact of the matter is that the victory's already been won.
Yes.
That the warfare's already over. I wanted to be a newscaster when Germany surrendered in 1945. Wouldn't you like to have been the first newscaster to come on and said the war is over? Wouldn't you like to have been the first newscaster to come on and say, well, after all this struggle, the war is over? And I'll tell you right now, my friend, I'm not the first one to say it, but I'm telling you right now, the war is over.
Yes.
The war's over. The victory's been won. We're still in a struggle, and God knows we need to continue a cautious, steadfast looking. Why? Because there are all sorts of Joabs out there. There are all sorts of Joabs. Children, let me tell you something. There are all sorts of Joabs out there. There are a lot of you here tonight. I pray for you. I know you have struggles. I understand that. But my prayer is for you that you'll not let these things slip.
Yeah.
My prayer is for you that you will continue. And that men will continue in the good way.
Yeah.
And in doing so, that these things will never slip away. May God help us to continue in that way. And may God help us to take heed. Wherefore, take heed,
yeah,
lest we fall. Go back and look at your examples. It can happen.
Yes.
It can. But let us take heed. Let us go in a steadfast looking way. And in doing so, press toward the mark and the prize and the high calling of Christ Jesus. Thank you, and may God bless you.